Because our bodies are complex, machines are complex, our emotions are complex, our needs are complex, and there are all kinds of ways in which we can get out of whack. And so we need all of that stuff together. And yet, following Jesus is simple. All we need to do is love Jesus with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself, and it all comes together. But because of our flesh, we tend to confuse things. Because of the context, our surroundings that we're in, there are different things that lead to us just not being able to see. So we need God's Word to give us guidance on what it is we need in our lives so that we can have this satisfaction. Again, it's not that God's too complex or too confusing. It's not that he's not showing us how. It's just our flesh kind of murkies the waters. And so the more we understand what it is we need in our lives, the greater propensity we have for satisfaction and peace and strength and all the things that we need to persevere through. So look with me, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, says this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he might grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Verse 20, and I love these two statements, these two verses. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Now, where we've been before we got here is we saw in chapter 1 all the benefits that Jesus gives to us if we are in Christ. And notice again, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. It's when we are in Christ that we have access to all the benefits that God provides. And so we have to be in this right posture before him. There is salvation that God gives us, and in order to receive the full impact of that salvation, we need to understand certain things about salvation to let it impact us not only in the life to come, but in the life that we are now in. We see that it is in the church. We have to be a part of the body of Christ and engaged in the body of Christ in order to receive some of the strength that is provided. And just with our recent tragedy, and we've seen other tragedies before, it is such a strength to have a body that will surround you when you're going through it. And again, he says this, that to him be glory in the church. He wants to work through Christ and through his church, and that is how we receive all these benefits. And then Paul breaks into this prayer that we just read, and in this prayer, as he's praying for us, verse 16, he says, so that you may be strengthened. The whole theme throughout this letter is the strength that we need to have. And he is giving us the strength, and Paul is praying for us to have certain things in our lives so that we could be strengthened. And that is that if I have what I need, I will be strengthened. If I have it all, then I will be strong. So what is it that Paul shows us that we need in order to be strengthened? First, in verse 14, he says, "For this reason I now bow my knees in prayer." Now, prayer can be just simply us praying. Paul knows that when he needs strengthened, he prays. And we also know that when we need strengthened, sometimes we need somebody else to be praying for us as well. And so when we find ourselves falling apart, things are a mess, I feel weak, I don't feel like I can continue, let me begin to look and see, what's my prayer life like? How close am I to the Lord? How much am I seeking him? Now, this doesn't mean that we don't ever get hit, or we don't ever fall, or we don't ever hurt, or we don't ever find ourselves sad or concerned. But if I can't get back up again, the question is, what does my prayer life look like? And not only that, how many people do I have in my life who are praying for me on a regular basis? the more of a community you have that you're a part of that's praying for you and you're praying for them, there is a strength in that praying. And that's why Paul begins to pray, because he knows that that is the beginning of finding this strength. So if I know that first I need prayer, secondly, verse 16, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened. These riches and glory, if you'll remember, in chapter 1, Paul again was talking about all the riches and all the fullness that is found in Jesus Christ, these glorious things that we have, and these benefits. And sometimes we know that the benefits are there, but we don't use them. God's comfort that is there when we're all alone and we're struggling, do we let God's comfort come in and move in our lives? God's peace that surpasses all understanding. God's wisdom when I don't know what to do. How often am I interacting with the benefits that Jesus Christ has for me? Because if they're just sitting on a shelf somewhere, if the peace and the comfort is there, but I'm not letting God work that in my life, then what good is it? I have to let God come in with his peace and his comfort and his strength and his wisdom and interact with God in those things, and then I begin to find strength. If I have it all, then I will be strong. If I have prayer life, if I have the benefits of God. Verse 16, it is through his Spirit. I need the activity of the Holy Spirit in my life. And it's not just being filled with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit is in you when you come to know Christ, but I need to be in step with the Holy Spirit. Galatians says that when I walk in the Spirit, then I am free from all the deeds of the flesh and all of that stuff that seems to trap us. If I'm in step with the Spirit. So when the Spirit says go, I need to go. When the Spirit says say this, I need to say that. When the Spirit says stop, I need to do that. I need to be doing all the things that I'm telling you. The more you are interacting with the working of the Holy Spirit and letting him do the things that he does in your life, then there's this strength that you have there that begins to surface in my life. And again, any number of these things can be off. You know, it's not that following Jesus is complicated. It's that we make it complicated. Because if we're pressing into Jesus and we're pushing into him, we're going to be praying. We're going to be reacting to the benefits God has for us. We're going to be engaging in and following the Holy Spirit. But it's our flesh that kind of gets in the way of that. And so we need to let the Scripture show us and see through Paul's prayer that these things need to be in my life. This is what I need. You don't need a pill. You don't need a counseling service, though there's nothing wrong with those things when we have need of those. But those are just temporary substitutes to the things that actually bring complete healing and wholeness. I don't just need more food. I don't just need another job or a bigger paycheck. I don't need better friends. That's not what I need. I need a prayer life. I need to access God's benefits. I need the Holy Spirit work in me. And then verse 16, that it is in your inner being. I need to be affected to the core of who I am. This Jesus Christ working in my life cannot simply just be just something that happens on the surface. It can't just be that one time I prayed some prayer and gave my life to Jesus and that was the extent of my relationship with him. It can't just be that it's like some hobby. You know, this is something I do on the side. You know, I read the Bible and I say some prayers and I get involved in church, and that's what I do on the side. It can't be that. It has to be that Jesus is not only just a part of my life, and what Jesus is doing and his mission and his kingdom isn't just a part of my life. It is my life. This is what I live for, is Jesus. And when you find yourself waking up thinking of Jesus, when you find yourself going to sleep thinking of Jesus, when you find yourself working through the day thinking of glorifying and knowing and making Jesus known, then you know you've been affected to the core of who you are. And until that happens, there will always be a lacking. What does Jesus say? That if I seek him, I will find him. If I seek him with all my heart, to the extent that you press in is the extent of which you're receiving. So if you find yourself weakened by the things that you're facing, ask yourself if you have all that you need to strengthen you. How is your prayer life? Are you utilizing the resources God has for you? Are you following the Spirit? Are you letting him affect you to the core of who you are? Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It is through faith that Christ dwells within me and does the things that he does. It is when I believe. And I'm telling you, if you don't believe this stuff, remember Peter? He was not able to walk on that water until he saw Jesus doing it. And he decided he was going to try to walk on the water until the storms began to put fear in his heart and he didn't believe he could do it anymore. And he began to sink. And sometimes when we walk through life, we don't believe that Jesus is going to carry us through this. You know, we believe that when we die, we're going to go to heaven, but we don't believe that Jesus can give me the wisdom to walk through this. We don't believe that Jesus can give me the strength. We don't believe that he has the answers. And we show it by our lifestyle and our actions, whether or not we truly believe that all this is going to happen and believe that there is a reality that is beyond us, that like we discussed earlier, when we die, when Jesus comes back, when he returns, he's going to destroy all the existing heavens and the earth and make a new heavens and a new earth, and there will be a glorious paradise that we will live in forever and ever, and that's more real than what we are living in now. And if I know that that's where I'm headed, then I can make it through anything, because who cares if I suffer here when I know what's at the other end? But when it's my faith is shaky on that, and I'm struggling to believe and have faith in this, that's when my strength begins to fail. I need faith. I need to believe. If I have it all of what God wants to do in my life, then I will be strong. What is it I need? I need prayer. I need God's benefits. I need the activity of the Spirit. I need affected to my core. I need faith. Verse 17, being rooted and grounded in love. I need a strong love base in order to continue. And this love is rooted, of course, in Jesus Christ. That if I know truly how Jesus feels towards me, and I love Psalm 139, in which David says, how wonderful are your thoughts towards me, how vast is the sum of them, and that you consider me a wonderful creation. That's how Jesus views you. And if I understand how much Jesus loves me, there is a strength in that. And not only that, but Jesus does not expect that his love just stays within this two-party scenario where it's me and Jesus. No, 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 no. He says that in John, in 1 John, that if we say we love God and we don't love people, we don't truly love God. And he also says that the world will know that I love them by what they see in us. And so not only do I need to have a healthy love relationship, affectionate relationship with Jesus, but I need love within the people in my life. And if you lack friendship, companionship, we're not talking about marriage, though it can include that, but if you lack people in your life who love you and show you affection and love towards you, There's a lack in your heart and your emotions. There's a difficulty in facing life when you don't know that there's someone there for you. But when you know there's someone there for, I'm telling you what, when my wife loves on me and I go to face something that's difficult, I think I can do anything. When you have a wonderful wife at your side, or when you have a great friend that's just there, you know that when you fall apart, you can go to that friend and that friend's going to love you and be there for you and embrace you. There is a strength in knowing that I have people that are on my side. But there's also a falling apart if I lack an ability to love others. You see, if you're not loving on people, if you have a relationship that's fractured in your life, it affects you. It affects you in ways that sometimes are not seen. So if your marriage is struggling, if you have friendships or family relationships that are struggling and you're not doing all that you can through the power of the Holy Spirit to make peace in that relationship, it's always going to be there gnawing at you and weakening you in your spirit and in your heart. And though sometimes you don't realize what it is that's causing that struggle, perhaps it's the absence of that love base that you so desperately, desperately need. Why do you think love is so emphasized in the Bible? Why do you think that Paul said in Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest of these is love? And you see, if I don't have that, I need to start. You can't live life in shelter in place. We're kind of forced in that for a little while, but we still can be connected despite that. You cannot live life alone. That's why God said in Genesis 1, it is not good for man to be alone. We have needs. As much as you would love to say you don't need them, you don't need them. You don't need those people in your life. I can do it on my own. As much as you'd love to say that, God did not make you that way. And so as much as you persist alone, that's how much that weakness will persist in your life. If I want to be strong, if I want to be able to persevere through everything I face, then I need to embrace the needs that I have. I need prayer. I need, and in saying that, it just occurred to me, I'm so grateful for the number of people in this church that pray for me on a regular basis. And at times that I have someone reach out to me and just say, you know, how are you doing? And really, I'm good. I'm not facing many things that many of you are facing. But it is great to know that you have people praying for you, to access the benefits God has for you, to interact with the movement of the Spirit, to follow the Spirit, to be affected to your core of who you are, to have faith, to have a strong love base. Verse 18, may have strength to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth of who God is. God is so unsearchable. You cannot exhaust knowing all the different angles of who the Lord is. And don't take the wrong thing from that. That doesn't mean we shouldn't seek Him out and explore all of who He is. But just know in all the exploring, there is a richness to God that you will never reach the end of. He is so wonderful, so amazing. And if your relationship, your understanding of Him is one-dimensional, or you just have certain aspects that you understand about God, then you're not going to have the sense of hope and value that you should in the relationship you have with Him. But when you go deep with God and you see who He is, the more you see who He is, the more faith rises, the more confidence rises, the more willingness you are to let the Holy Spirit do His work, the more so many things start to happen in your life. When you go all the way in deep with God, and I'm telling you, wherever you are with God, there is still more to be found. And Paul is praying that you will know the breadth and length and height and depth of who this God is. And he also wants us to understand, verse 19, that we would know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. That we would know, and it's intriguing that he says that we would know it, we would know this love, but this love surpasses all knowledge. That you can never really fully understand the love of Jesus Christ. But we need to know it to whatever extent He will show us. And we observed communion this morning, and I'm telling you, that's not a lie. That is a reality. When Jesus went to that cross, He had you in mind. Do you understand how astounding that is? You weren't even conceived yet. Your parents, your grandparents, your great-great-great-grandparents weren't even conceived yet. And Jesus longed for you so much so that He went through the length that He went through. That's how much Jesus loves you. So when you find yourself feeling, woe is me, when you find yourself feeling like all hope is lost, when you find yourself wanting to give up, remember what Jesus did for you. Not a guilt thing. Not a, I should be doing better because Jesus did that for me. No, because that's how much Jesus loves me. That He did that for me. And He still has that. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He still loves you and is pursuing you. And if you understand, I'm telling you, there's a strength that comes from that. If we know what I need Him to love on me. And some of us were a little too manly. I've not been accused of being too manly. But some of us are a little too manly and a little too tough and a little too nothing affects me on the outside. But sometimes you just need to be weak before your Savior. Sometimes you just need to be weak before others. It's okay to break down and cry because I'm telling you, faking it, as much as people say fake it till you make it, that might be true in some circumstances. It's not true with your emotions. It's not true with your well-being. Just let yourself be open. That's how He gets into that core. I mean, if you're keeping that from Him, He can't get in there because He's not willing to push past that if you're not willing to open up. And if you have all these things going, if you have it all, I'm telling you, there's nothing this world, this life can throw at you that you can't keep walking through. It might be hard. It might be confusing. You might not know the next three steps. But you will have the strength to keep walking if you have all these things that God knows that you need to have in your life, prayer, His benefits, the activity of the Spirit, affected to my core, faith, a strong love base, understanding of who God is, understanding the love of Christ, verse 19, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness. You see, it's not good enough just to know all aspects of the length and breadth and height of who God is. I have to experience it. I have to know it in that I am experiencing who God is. You can't just experience it. As Joe mentioned earlier, there is the power of God that we can experience, but then there is the mercy and the love of God. There is the peace and comfort of God. Then there is the excitement and the exhilaration of God. God is serious and He is fun-loving, and God is pure and holy, and God is merciful and compassionate, and we need to know all of who God is experientially. And if you haven't experienced His discipline, His anger and frustration with you, you've not fully experienced God. If you haven't experienced His love for you, if you've not experienced the seriousness of which He takes His kingdom, if you've not experienced the joy and exuberation of how He can celebrate, you've not fully experienced God, you need to know Him in all the aspects of who He is. This is not just a hobby. This is not just some extracurricular activity. This is life. This is what we live for. And if you are not in that place, perhaps there's a reason why you find yourself on shaky ground. You called on the name of Jesus, but you didn't really jump all the way in. I need prayer, God's benefits, the activity of the Spirit. I need affected to my core. Oh, that we would let Him do that. Affect us to the very deepest parts of who we are. I need faith. I need a strong love base. I need understanding. I need to understand the love of Christ and all aspects of God. And lastly, verse 20 and 21. Again, I love these verses. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. You need to think about that. All that we can even ask or think He's able to do. This means that not only is He able to do everything that you ask of Him, and even you could think of. So if you've ever found yourself fantasizing and thinking in your creative part of your brain of who you are and thinking of all the amazing things that God can do, has done, you still have not been creative enough to ask Him the things that He can do. His ability goes far beyond what you can even think of. That's how capable God is. And if you understand that when you find yourself without, when you find yourself without income, when you find yourself without the relationships that you need, when your health is falling apart, when tragedy hits, when anything that you find yourself facing in life, if you know that I can't even think of the solution here, but God is able to do what I can't even think could happen, you have this faith that rises in you that you know that, as we said weeks ago, God has my back. Why do I need to be afraid? Here He is right here with me. That doesn't mean I won't suffer loss. Doesn't mean that I won't go through dark periods. Doesn't mean that I won't ever hurt. But it does mean that if you have all these things happening in your life that God wants to bring about in your life, you will never die. And what I mean by that is you might die physically, but you will live forever in His paradise. And when you get to that end, again, like we said, who cares? Who cares what happened on this side? I'm over there. I could care less if I'm over there. And you will just, there's just so much power in realizing this. And your will never die. There's no quitting. A person who has all of this going on in their life, there is no quit in that person. You think of Paul. Because Paul's writing this to us. This is his prayer. I love that story in Acts where Paul is presenting the gospel in this town, and they drag him out of the town and stone him and leave him for dead. And when he finally comes to, he gets up and goes right back into that same city. You think he's going to stop spreading the gospel just because somebody stoned him and attempted to kill him? No, and he says in his other epistles that he's gone through floggings and scourgings and all kinds of things and abandonment from his loved ones, so many things that he suffered, and he will not quit. And if you want the never say die, I'm going to keep going on, nothing is going to hold me back kind of thing, then I need to know what I need. And I need prayer. I need God's benefits. I need the activity of the Holy Spirit. I need affected to my core. I need faith. I need a love base. I need an understanding of who God is and the love of Christ. I need all aspects of God to experience in my life. And I need to know the possibilities. And if that's there, is there any reason why the Scripture says that we soar on eagle's wings? He is going to take us far above anything that we will face. God is a great God, and He wants to do all that stuff in you. Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, what great things you have for us. Oh, hallelujah, what power and strength and victory, what comfort and love and mercy and compassion, what wisdom and insight, oh, what the depths and heights and lengths of Jesus Christ is. Lord, come in like a flood. Come in like a flood and fill us to the fullness. Joe, will you, let's do, oh Lord, You'd Never Let Go, if we could. As we sing that and think through the lyrics of what we're singing, no matter what it is we're facing, He never lets go. The question is, will we let go? Yes, don't worry. Will we let go? Will we not engage in what the Holy Spirit is doing? And so what is it for you? Again, something goes wrong with your computer. It could be any number of 100 things that's causing it. You sense a pain in your body. It could be a number of things that could be the cause of that. That's because we need so many things. What is it this morning, wherever you are, whether you're here or at home, whether you're watching this now or watching this later, what is it that needs adjusted in your life in order for you to be strengthened? And so as the worship team leads us, let's reflect on what is it that I need that needs to be changed in me? Is it my prayer life, prayer companions? Is it my accessing the benefits of God? What is it that needs adjusted in my life? Is it my willingness to walk in step with the Spirit? Is it my willingness to let myself be completely vulnerable with God and let Him in to all the darkest places and affect me to the core of who I am? What is it that needs adjusted in your life today? He's here now. He's wherever you are. He wants to do these things. What is it? Is it my faith that's weak? Is it a relationship? Some of you, Jesus is waiting to do a mighty thing once you go and you offer forgiveness to that person. Once you go and ask forgiveness of that person and make things right. Is it my understanding of who God is? Is it my experience with God? Is it my limit to my understanding of what He's capable of doing? What is it that needs adjusted in my life? And as we sing and we declare the glories of God, let Him in. Because if I end up having it all, then I will be strong. Let's seek Him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord. Thank You that You never let go. Thank You, Lord, You're always here. Thank You, Lord, for Your strength. Thank You, Lord, for Your wisdom. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your mercy. Thank You, Lord, for Your peace. Thank You for all the things that we can't even imagine and think of that You're doing for us now, in the past, and in the future. Lord, You are such an amazing Savior. And help, Lord, help us to know what is the depth and height and width and length of this God that we serve. Oh, how glorious You are. How glorious You are. And I don't understand the people who don't follow Jesus, apart from knowing that they don't really know Jesus. Because if you truly know Jesus, there's nothing else in this life you'll want but Jesus. And so wherever you are, if you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you to pray with me. I'll pray for you that God will come in your life right now, and I encourage you to surrender your life to Him. And then those of you that you're struggling through things and you need God to strengthen you, I'm going to pray that God will do a great work in you. And so, Lord, I ask for those that don't know You, that are right now at this moment saying, I want to know this Jesus and follow this Jesus that they're talking about that is so great and so amazing. I want to know that person. So, Lord, I'm asking that You would enable them to surrender their everything to You, and that as they do that, You would open their eyes to see Your goodness. You would touch their hearts to feel, experience Your love, and that You would pour out Your Spirit upon them in great abundance. And Lord, those that are suffering, struggling, find themselves feeling weak, I ask that you would uphold them and uplift them, and that you would strengthen them, and that you would pour out your Spirit and do a great work in their lives, and that you would allow them to experience all the goodness of who you are, and let them have the strength to persevere through all that they face. And Lord, may our prayer be what Paul prayed. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the glory at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What a glorious Savior. What a glorious day. Thank you for being with us this morning. And the work of the Spirit does not stop when streaming stops. You continue to seek him and let him do a work in you. And we love you. I love you. And I miss being with you in person. And that day will come in the future. I'm praying. We're seeing cases decrease, and some areas are going into the yellow phase. So praying that our day will come in the future. But thank you for being with us. Again, you can communicate through us or with us in the various channels. And if you have any need for prayer, you want someone to contact you and pray with you, we have a team that's waiting and eager to contact you and pray with you. So just make sure to comment or communicate to us. We'd love to have someone pray with you. But next week, we're going to dive into Ephesians chapter 4. In the first three chapters, we saw all the great things that he had. Now we're going to see what he wants us to do with that strength. So I hope you'll join us with that with us next week. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.